PACTSINC, and PACTS Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on economics and education with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. And as always, like I tell you, while you're on the website, make sure you click around on them tabs, and especially that tab that says the code, so you can learn more about the code of conduct that PACTS Inc. have created for Black America, as well as go scroll through all those tabs, and you'll find the education tab where there's a whole lot of educational information that you can use, that Black America can use. So make sure you check that out. And as always, you know, while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about me. There's a video of me dunking on Jamie on there, so you definitely want to go see that. Mm. Learn more about Pat, learn more about Jamie, and all of the fly guests that we've had on the Freedom Train podcast series. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Like our Facebook page. Subscribe to the Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Freedom Train Network on iTunes or Google Play. That way you get episodes coming straight to your phone, really going down, and you could be cool, and then, yeah, life would be good. Fellas,
what up?
Yeah.
Hell is going on with y'all?
She making it do what it do, homie.
She, hey man, I sound like I got roaches crawling around my nose. That's what I sound like.
Roaches crawling in my nose.
Yeah. Huh? I need some time.
Normal.
Oh, shut up, man. I need some testing. Y'all ain't got no testing, none of that Father. Hey, when y'all was sick back in the day, did y'all parents ever give y'all some of that Father John?
Hell no. Put some bacon rub on your chest.
You don't know about no. I mean, they did that too, my parents, but you don't know about that Father John or that 666?
Hell no, man. Jeez.
See,
you
know that's why
Norton rat poison as a kid.
Nah, I bet you got sick every year too, didn't you?
Hell no, nah, man.
Yeah, you did.
We used to have, what's that stuff called? It was I don't know what it was, but it was disgusting. I hate taking medicine, so.
Like cod liver oil, like castor
oil. Yeah, cod liver oil. There you go. Yeah. I hate that stuff.
Put it like this, for Father John, cod liver oil was, I think, one of the ingredients, either cod liver or castor oil, was one of the ingredients. So that Father John was nasty as hell. But it was so nasty, your body was afraid to get sick. So,
you stupid.
I'm dead serious, man. Now, I don't want you put that shit up in me. I do good, sir.
Oh, man, you stupid.
I don't know nothing about none of that.
See? But y'all was on that just straight tussing in a vapor room.
We was on NyQuil, man.
Damn. NyQuil as a kid, Pat? Goddamn,
yeah. That was my mama's elixir, man. We ain't had Tussin. My dad would give us Tussin. Mama would give us NyQuil. So, you know, she'd be like, oh, you sick? Go to sleep. When you wake up, you'll feel better.
Mom's was knocking all y'all little asses out. Come here, boy. Go and drink some of this. Yeah, it's Kool-Aid. Yo, had laid out the whole weekend.
Yeah, man. We get the grown folks doses, too.
Hell no. And get no spoonful of sugar.
She give you a small cup.
giving it to us in a shot glass, bro.
Hey, then Pat was out for 72 hours, 3 weekends in a row. God, leave, boy. Hey, man. But it's all good. We got the weather through, man. I'm like Jordan in that playoff game, so I think I'm going to score a whole lot of points tonight.
Jordan shit on himself at halftime, so you know that. It's the flu game, just so you know.
Well, I'm going to throw it at you.
So if you shit yourself in the middle of this podcast, we get it.
I'm throwing it at you. Hey, man, so I know people like, man, y'all shit the fuck up. We want to hear what y'all talking about. Hey, man, shit, we talking.
Yeah, we talking.
All right, so what we got on the plate today, man? I know we talk about, Harvey Weinstein, the Weinstein effect, and how black feminists are very quiet. That BIE report, we got to talk about that. And then, do a little touching on that Dove commercial, because, you know, that Dove commercial got people all up in arms and stuff, so, man. So, I guess we can start with that Weinstein. Pat, man, what you got? You got to lead this, man. What you got, man? Pat, where you at?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was fighting with the mute button, man.
Oh, this dude, man. You messed up.
I was just going through. I was all in my heart, bro. I was giving them 411, 922, and everything. Anyway, so.
Pat Lyon.
Harvey Weinstein, the big name Hollywood producer or whatever, who's basically the white version of Bill Cosby. Over the last few decades, he's been raping, molesting, and harassing various women, except unlike Bill Cosby, a lot of these women actually seem to have had some level of success. When you're talking about like Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow, even had Terry Crews come out with his experience about somebody in a party touching him on his wee-wee. So, you know, basically, he's going through the run-up. He's still free. He ain't been locked up. And I think, actually, the woman that was... the prosecutor that was prosecuting Bill Cosby is actually his defense attorney, or at least a defense or a consultant for him. So basically, without getting too deep into it, and even to that, they did an undercover investigation on him a bit ago, a couple years back, and actually have him on record confessing to molesting one young lady. So why he's still free, the world can only guess, but basically, yeah, this is the white Bill Cosby.
Man,
Bill Cosby.
I'm listening to the radio, and they say Buddy's so engulfed in sexual harassment that he had a clause in his contract where he could sexual harass the women.
Yeah, had an NDA.
God damn, what kind of contract
is that?
Yeah.
What type of shit is that? Well, the contract said I could touch your coochie, so, you know. Like, what? What type of shit, man? Weinstein, you need your ass whooped.
No, when I first heard about this and I kind of read into it, it doesn't surprise me, man. Like, that's what Hollywood is for the most part. Rich, powerful white men that get away with stuff. So, I don't know why. I'm not shocked by it, you know. Now that everybody's coming out and stuff like that, to me, it's just like, I get it, but y'all could have been put this dude away a long time ago. So, and the people that were around him, they knew about his activities and nobody said anything. So, to me, you know, all this, we need to push him out, get him out of here. This man has had a long history of doing what he's done, and nobody said anything until now. Now they're trying to right that wrong. To me, it's just like, y'all could have, you know, got rid of this dude a long time ago. So you were complicit with his behavior. You condoned it for a while. You didn't condone it. And you are what you are, man. Like, that's disgusting. Dude's a perv. Get him the fuck out of there. That's all I feel about it. Fuck. I don't even, what movie did he produce? Like, shit.
Well,
is he just a money man, or he actually produced some shit?
He's a very powerful person. He's probably the most powerful person in Hollywood.
No, fuck him. I'm not in Hollywood. I ain't got no scripts coming to me anytime soon, so fuck him.
I mean, but it's been widely known for years that sexual harassment, child molestation, all those things were big issues in Hollywood. It was able to be covered up. Like, you just Google Harvey Weinstein's name and click on some of the articles that come up is that Harvey Weinstein has been paying people for decades. I haven't read the article. That's what the title says, that he's been paying off people for decades to keep quiet about the sexual harassment. But this article that I just opened up here, what's this, the New York Times, the title is Harvey Weinstein, Hollywood's Oldest Horror Story. So my thing is, like, Nate Parker got drugged through the rings, and he was innocent. Harvey Weinstein is guilty. Bill Cosby got drugged through the mud.
It still is, hell.
I mean, why is I don't see the same outrage for Weinstein across the board. I just don't. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, you ain't going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It's a white man we're dealing with. That's right. It's a white man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you ain't.
Okay.
I mean, now, it has been interesting to watch us in the black community. Us in the black community, we haven't been getting too much whatever about it, but if you go to white Twitter, and I'm assuming if there's a black Twitter, there has to be a white Twitter. if you go to white Twitter, though.
It is called Twitter.
Well, we're not going to do that. For me, Twitter is black Twitter. And when I'm talking about non-black Twitter, I'm going to call it white Twitter. See, I'm going to flip their shit on them. They ain't going to like that, but I'm going to do it. So if you go to white Twitter, hashtag white Twitter, you know, they're like Ben Affleck, he's got drugged through the mud because he came out with a statement saying Harvey Weinstein was a horrible human being, and a bunch of white women came out of the woodworks and was like, so are you. You've been harassing and molesting people too. And then he shut up. Matt Damon came out of the woodworks and said that Harvey Weinstein is a horrible person. And then some reporter came out of nowhere and was like, yeah, and you killed the story I had written about him 10 years ago. So it's been real interesting to watch them duke it out amongst themselves, you know, in the white community, in amongst the Hollywood elite. But it is interesting for me, like, you know, they keep calling these women heroes for coming forward after 20 years after he done molested 30 people behind them, you know, and they got all of this whole narrative going on. It's real interesting to look at the side of Bill Cosby. Then you're thinking about, like, for me personally, well, one, I don't think these women are heroes. You're an accomplice. If you was the first one to get raped and you ain't say nothing, you're an accomplice to every other woman that got raped after you. That's how I feel. You can hate me for it all you want, but it is what it is. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is that not only were women signing these contracts with NDAs in them, but other women were going back. Like, some women went back 3 and 4 times. So, you know, at what point does it become a relationship? You know, at what point am I no longer raping you and now we just dating and we into some kinky shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, at what point does it cross? And I know that's the way I said it was kind of harsh, but you get what I'm trying to say. Like, if you go back 3 or 4 times.
You mean for Bill Cosby, right?
No, this is Harvey Weinstein as well.
Okay.
Some of the women went back to Harvey like 3 or 4 times, you know? Some of the women signed the NDAs. And let's not forget about all of the women who were willing to sleep with him for advancement. Like, this whole culture needs to be addressed from the top to the bottom. You can't address it by just looking at Harvey Weinstein and how fucked up he is. It's, you know, it's other willing participants. But it is interesting to see the black feminists that were willing to drag Nate Parker through the mud. They were willing to drag Bill Cosby through the mud. They were willing to drag us three through the mud. You know, we terrorists. We're the white men of the black community, this, that, and the third. But then to see all of these people be so silent on Harvey Weinstein, that is very interesting.
Yeah. Hey, don't Harvey Weinstein look like he send meat beat videos to girls?
He's snorting lines of cocaine, sending it to strippers. That's
what he's doing. Yeah, Weinstein lame. Like, any dude put a clause in the contract to sexually harass women is the lamest motherfucker ever. Like, he's officially the lamest. You know his thing lame, look. He got to make you sign up to see it.
Yeah.
Boy, you got a little ding-a-ling, boy.
Hey, speaking of which, we had this jazz convention. Nah.
Oh, man.
We were at this little dance, this little breaking convention. It's a dancing thing here in Charlotte. Speaking of pedophiles and molesters and all that other stuff, the dude, this momming dude, decided he wanted mine. A thank you, Jesus, dance or whatever on the stage. And what was interesting was, and this is completely off topic, but it's on topic with molestation. But what was interesting was he chose to dance to R. Kelly. And the irony of the entire situation just really messed with me. I couldn't even enjoy the dance because he talking about you saved me, thank you, Jesus, listening to a man who been molesting 15-year-old girls and peeing on them and kidnapping them and all this other. It was real amazing. So, anyway, that's all. I'm done.
R. Kelly can sing, though, so when you can sing, you know, certain things are okay for you to do, I guess. That's how we see R. Kelly.
See, Pat, you a hater because you wasn't inspired by I Believe I Can Fly. That's why you're saying that.
Yeah.
And the cornrows that he had. You wasn't inspired by the cornrows that Kelly used to wear.
I mean, you know, I was just like that. You know, we doing inspirational dances to Jesus Christ made by a dude that play around with little girls. That's just amazing to me. I just, thank you, Jesus.
Well, was that fun good?
Yeah. I mean, but it's like you was touching on something earlier. You were talking about the culture of rape. And, yeah, we make a joke. We crack it. Yeah, we're going to crack jokes on R. Kelly and Weinstein and people like that. You're going to get that from us. In the midst of this, we're going to talk about that. But the overall thing is the culture of rape. And Pat was hitting on it. He just said it in a mean way. So I'm going to say it in a nicer way. But the culture of rape cannot exist if it's not upheld by both sides, both male and female. And for the culture of rape to still be able to exist the way it exists, that means it hasn't been properly handled by both sides, both male and female. And so, because think about the buy-in that it had to take overall for somebody like Weinstein to be able to operate the way he's operating.
That's right.
If it's like Hollywood's biggest known secret, well, shit, I mean, how long was y'all planning on making this a secret or keeping this a secret? Like, y'all know people, because it's the same thing as, like, Joe Paterno over at Penn State. Joe Paterno knew his homeboy was hitting little boys and do nothing about it.
Knew about it for years.
Yeah, so we're talking about a culture. A culture cannot exist without the buy-in from all people. And not saying all people, as in every person in America buys into the culture of rape. But at some point, or in somewhere, in some shape, form, fashion, too many people are able to operate or uphold or keep this culture going, and we all know it's messed up. And we all know these are things that we don't want. So we can't. Yeah, we're going to point our finger at Weinstein, and we're going to get on his ass, but it goes deeper than just Weinstein as well, and it comes with critical thinking, like, who else was buying into this?
That's a fact. A lot of people, apparently.
Yeah, because, again, going back to Ben Affleck, one of the ladies, again, on white Twitter, when he made his statement, she was like, I told you that he did this to me, and when I told you, your words was, damn it, I told him to stop doing that. I mean, you know, and other people have said, other celebrities that they told that they had been molested or harassed or whatever by Weinstein had the exact same response. I told him he need to stop. So, you know, Joe is being nice, but I personally think 75% or more of Americans buy into, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, rape culture. I say the vast majority of us do.
Now, what I've learned over the years is a lot of us are accomplices within the culture of rape unknowingly because it's just part of the social and cultural norms that we go by.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so a lot of times you'll be participating in that, and you have no idea until somebody kind of points it out to you, and you feel like shit. You do. You feel like crap. But you also have to understand that this was taught to you by the people that you were around, the environment that you grew up in. And we all may think that we grew up in an extra healthy environment, but sometimes we all don't.
Most times we don't.
That's true.
So
our environment is fucked. If you grew up in a healthy environment, you're the oddball. And by the time you finish with your life, I guarantee you, your environment has been destroyed. Now, I'm going to take it a step further. I don't believe anybody in America has grown up in a healthy environment, period. It's not a part of American society. It's not. Everybody grew up fucked up. That's why we all fucked up adults. That's why we got all these fucked up problems. Oh, man, think about it. Let's be real with it. We got racism, classism, elitism, rapism. You know, you go down the line, NAMBLA, pedophilia.
It's not a healthy environment to grow up in America.
Femininity,
Something mentally wrong with everybody in America. We might not all admit it, but it is.
And we can't even be like, we all need therapists, because the therapists come from the same warped education system. They just as warped. Ask a therapist to psychoanalyze themselves.
Y'all took this, like, way deeper than I was imagining it.
You better pull your shovel out.
What Pat just said just got me over here like, damn, yeah, shit, fuck, damn, that's way deeper than I thought, man. Yeah, we all fucked up. Fuck me,
We all fucked up. We don't want to acknowledge it, so we look at the motherfucker that's more fucked up than us, and we just, nah, I ain't fucked up. That motherfucker is fucked up. Nah, you're underwater as well. You're just not as deep as him.
Exactly. I can dig it.
Yeah, man, but I mean, it is what it is. Like, think about it. Like, Hollywood is, that shit, the culture over there is toxic, and it's like, when everybody knows something is going on, and like fear was instilled because everybody was afraid to go against Weinstein, and it's always like that until one person busted wide open and things like that. But
yeah,
now like Pat said, you got Terry Crews, somebody grabbed him. They said Oliver Stone was trying to support Weinstein, and people went for his head. Then you got other. People coming out with their little stories and things like that. So,
yeah, I mean, once one person nuts drop, everybody nuts want to drop. You know, it's easy to let your nuts drop after another motherfucking and took the brunt of the backlash. You know, somebody else and broke through the glass ceiling, so now we can all climb through. But look, man, look at all that shit. And y'all black feminists, since Joe is being the cool, calm, collected one, y'all motherfuckers done lost a whole lot of credibility, man. Y'all done lost
we ain't slide in on that. You're black feminist. Just for the feminism alone, y'all supposed to be all digging all up in Harvey Weinstein's ass right now. Y'all supposed to be dragging Weinstein through the mud right now, just off the strength of y'all not liking what's going on to women. Y'all ain't talking about nothing as usual when it comes to a white man, especially a white man in a powerful position.
Of course not, man. That defeats the whole purpose of what they kind of stand for. But when it comes, I guarantee if this was a black man that had, you know, a lot of power in Hollywood in this same position, they'd be all out, you know, all these articles about us being terrorists and shit, they would try to, you know, this justifies it. They'll be going, you know, complete Hamilton on our ass. And that's why I try to, I always cringe when I see people, a lot of my sisters out there with this feminism type deal. It just does, like, feminism is not for black women. And it's going to take, you know, a little bit of time for, you know, some sisters to get that, but it's not for y'all. It was never designed for you. It was never designed for you.
But see, when we say something like that, people think that you're saying women should be feminists or shouldn't fight for women's rights, and that's not what nobody's saying. So if anybody that thinking that ain't what we saying, what we're saying is we're tired of seeing black women align themselves with groups of people, black men included, not all, but black men included, groups of people who continuously let her down. And white women and black men are two of the ones that are at the top of the list. But right now we're talking about their allegiance with white women. And white women are always letting black women down. Always black women down. Matter of fact, every group of people on this earth have always let black people down. So, of course, they're letting black women down. Nobody's an exception. Black women are always getting fucked over and always being expected to be at the forefront of everything. People always expect black people to be at the forefront of everything, but they're always letting us down. But see, the thing is, what we're saying in this is we see how black women go hard when the limelight being seen as a predator. But when a white man, especially a white man with power, is being seen as a sexual predator, black women, silent. What's up with that?
I'll tell you what's up. They won't admit that their emotions and their introduction to feminism has groomed them in such a way that they have a natural vendetta against their men. Not against men, period. Their men. They do have a bit of a beef with men in general, but they're willing to overlook that when it comes to other men. When it comes to their men, they're not willing to overlook it. And look, as a man, I don't have a problem with being held to a higher standard. I really don't. But I do have a problem when you hold me to such a high standard that I have no hope of attaining it as an individual. Now, if you want to hold us as a collective accountable, cool. We hold each other as a collective accountable all the time. You know, like Joe just said, as a collective, black men need to step up. But when y'all come at us, y'all don't come at us as a collective. And when y'all do, it's very broad brushed. And y'all allow that broad brush, whatever, to affect y'all individual interactions with us individually in ways that y'all don't do with other men. You know? So that's my beef. Like, how can you be silent on Harvey Weinstein? Got him on tape. They got him on tape confessing. And he ain't in jail. The number is still climbing. But like you said, Nate Parker was innocent. And they didn't get that brother no slack. Jesus Christ. I mean, that dude, you would think he was walking around. Look at the police officer that was all up in the hood raping them black women. He had raped, what, like 10 black women or something like that in the hood? You ain't hear a peep. But they gave Bill Cosby to work.
It's just, I think they're programmed to when it's a black male to go extra harder. And I don't know why. Why would that be their motivation? If the thing is, if your values are the same, it shouldn't matter what race the male is. Everybody should collectively go hard on them, but with black feminists, they kind of, you know, cherry pick, or they are told who they need to go after for whatever agenda or purpose. So,
you know, they're groomed to be the attack dogs because a white woman can't go after a black man. She can't.
Right.
She can't.
She can get her ass whooped.
Right. She can't, but a black woman can. That's you're looking at. The reasons why white women allow these other women to be a part of their movement, two reasons. One, numbers. When you hold white women numbers up to white men's numbers by themselves, it's not bad enough for you to be like, oh, poor white lady. But when you hold Hispanic women or black women numbers up to white men's
white
numbers,
women look better.
You get a whole different, now you get this fake-ass sisterhood that crosses all races. But then the other reason is, white women can't go after Hispanic and Latino men. They can't go after black men because they get their asses roasted. And they can't go after Asian men either because they get their asses roasted. But they can go after black men. So they got to get all these other groups to go after their men. And that's what they do. And so that's when you hear them talking about the sisterhood of being a woman is more important than race. But then when it actually come time for the sisterhood to be more important for race and for them to put their race aside and focus on the sisterhood.
They always take race.
We just saw that with Donald Trump.
They always take race. Always. And we have, and black people need to understand that when it comes to outsiders, and black women have to understand that as well. Like we keep saying, white women will never say anything or even try to disrupt the fact that they make more money than y'all and don't care about y'all making the same amount of money as equal as it should be for women across the board, the sisterhood. But they get more benefits. They got way more privileges and way more freedom than black women. Let a black white woman screen rape at least 25 people gonna die. Black woman screen rape, nobody cares.
Yeah. So it's, and again, we got to emphasize, we not saying black women shouldn't stick together. I love the sisterhood.
Women should stick with black women, and black people should stick with black people, and black men got to do a better job, like you said earlier, of supporting black women. And black women should only align themselves with women who prove themselves through their continuous actions that they're in aligned with them. My bad for cutting you off, though.
No, you're good, because you summed it up. And as a black woman, don't understand that concept.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, you should only align yourself with people. And I don't, look, like I said earlier, I mean, not we acknowledging that black men been fucking up. So I don't care who it is. Do not align yourselves with people who cannot continuously show you through their actions that they are for you.
Jamie?
That's a fact. No, I agree. I'm hearing what you're saying. I agree. You know, that issue is very complicated, and I think we tackled that plenty of times in the past. It's just when it comes to issues like this, as we alluded to about culture and things of that nature, it would be very smart of black feminists, you know, take a step back and see how you're being used and manipulated for the causes of other people, and especially with this whole Weinstein thing. You're pretty much being told you can't even talk about it, so just sit back and fall back. We'll let you know when we want your opinion on this rape culture and stuff like that. So hopefully they see that. Probably not. As you alluded to, Twitter, black Twitter, nobody's really up in arms about it, so I guess it's not that important. So it just means that when it comes to feminists, if you're black, it only creates a divisive, you know, a little wedge between the black man and the black woman, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand that shit, so.
But we know that's what it is. We understand the divide. We know, we've been looking at stuff long enough to understand that divide and conquer strategy. You can't conquer a united people. That's very difficult to conquer a united people unless you can just straight up outgun them. But even then, look at the tactics that white people have always used to conquer a people, especially people. The first wave is so docile, you don't even know it's an attack. Those are the missionaries who come about. Historically, those are the people who come in peace, who come in the name of God. But systematically, they're telling you what's wrong with you. Your gods are wrong. Your way of life is wrong. All these things are wrong. So change your way of life. Turn your back on your way of life and adopt our ways, not customs, not culture, because they understand that how that will cause a rift between the different people and the cultures. And once you have that internal rift that can be overtaken, then the other waves, because that first wave is always a disruptive wave and also a reconnaissance wave as well, because they bring about information. So we got to be able to see this shit. This is chess, not checkers. It's very strategic. It's militaristic. It's not just the fly by night. Oh, this military that serious is always that serious when you're dealing with these damn savages. Look at the history.
And another thing we got to understand is, this is embedded in their culture.
Right.
So you got a lot of people sitting back looking for the plan, if you will. The you know what I'm saying, the official state sponsored document that tells them how to do missionary work and how to do, look, in a lot of the cases, you're not gonna find that. Because it's embedded in their culture. And you go all the way back to the mandate from heaven, the king's mandate, all that other shit. Civilizing the world. What do you think they meant when they were saying we're going to civilize the entire world. That basically means we're going to make all y'all motherfuckers just like us. Because if you ain't like us, you a savage.
Right.
What kind of culture do you think that is? So this shit is embedded in their culture. They do it without even thinking about it. Without even realizing they do it, that's what they're doing. And nobody really has stood up to them to show them, look, you realize everywhere y'all go, the native cultures die? The native
right,
languages
fuck up
die?
Everything. Everything.
Everywhere y'all go. Everywhere y'all go, the indigenous organisms and civilizations and societies and cultures vanish. I know ain't nobody ever broke this shit down for y'all before. And that we can't even say that because you got the documentary out, The School in the World, where you got their own people saying this. There's a man in there, there's a line in there where he says, I could only imagine a person from another culture coming into my community and telling me that they want to educate my kids in the way that they live. I would never allow that to happen. Those are his exact words in the documentary. He's a white dude. Every other culture does that shit every day.
That's a fact. I agree.
Motherfucker.
So we got to wake the hell up and understand what's going on. And, you know, not to stray too far away from one thing, sick ass, but still, it's about, you know, like we said earlier, we want to see black feminists, first of all, stop letting other people tell you who to be upset and angry at. Like, if you was a black person and you wanted to support Nate Park, even if you was a feminist, I mean, you could do it, but it's like, you can't always go after black men, and then when white men be on the same stuff, you silent. Like, you know where to be found.
Yeah. Let's talk, Joe. Because we got to talk about the moist motherfuckers with this dove shit.
No, we do. But what I was about to say is, we're not saying we want white media to drag a white person through the mud. But what we are saying, we want these black forces to drag these people through the mud. If y'all are so amped to drag black people through the mud. But what you can't be doing is just being one-sided about it and looking like attack dogs. Because right now, black feminists, that's what y'all looking like, attack dogs. Because it's almost like white women telling y'all who y'all can and can't be mad at. And then you're like, well, let's go ahead and do it. Because Becky told us to be mad at Saquon over here. So let's be mad at Saquon.
Said Saquon.
Why his name gotta be Saquon?
That's the first name popped in my head.
Jesus.
Excuse me. How about the classic Hollywood black name, Jamal?
Tyrone. Thanks, Miss Badu.
If your name wasn't Jamal, you weren't in no real black movie. So, but I mean, like we said. All of this is a cumulative effect of the culture of rape that exists in Tallahassee, but that exists in America.
It exists in Tallahassee, too.
It does exist in Tallahassee, but I'm talking about America as a whole, my brother. See, Pat, you always try to throw stuff at me, but also remember, the culture of rape is one of the things that helped the foundation of America. Remember that. America would not be America if it wasn't for the culture of rape, because hell, they had to find somewhere to systematically destroy the women, both black and of the different tribes that existed here.
Look, bro, I'm just interested in listening to y'all break down this dog shit to me because I've been thinking about it and I still don't get it.
So, Dove decided to make some soap, and that's about the extent of it, I know.
You said the Dove commercial? So,
yeah.
So what you how you want us to break it down?
So for those that don't know, Dove put a new ad campaign. Basically, from my understanding, it's like a 3-second GIF of a bunch of women taking off a shirt to reveal the shirt underneath to be clean or whatever, and. I guess the black lady had on a brown shirt, and when she took it off, she was white, and the shirt was white. And then there was an Asian lady in there as well, and I forget what color shirt she had on, but it's a GIF. For those of you that don't know, it's basically a short repeating video loop. So they're taking off these shirts over and over and over, and I guess the beef is that they're saying that black is dirty and white is clean. But I'm just trying to...
Of course, we know they're saying that. That's not bullshit. We know damn well they're saying black is dirty and white is clean. White people don't like us.
I'm just trying to understand the outrage that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand why we're so heated about this.
Well, because black people are, and then Neely Fuller comes up, black people are confused about everything else because they don't understand the system and culture of white supremacy and racism. And so black people are also programmed, like we just talked about, black people are also programmed to be outraged when white people want them to be their program. So, I mean, we should already know that white people don't like us. White supremacists don't like us. I should say white supremacists like white people. But, you know, I'm going to make some distinctions. Not saying that all white people even do what they're supposed to help us. But white supremacists don't like us. And if you think Dove like you because you like their soap, you stupid.
Here's the thing. My thing is, I get it. You know, we got to stop letting... When something goes viral, we just go along with it. And I think that's what happened with this Dove soap. I don't think anybody truly sat down and analyzed it and really thought about it. It was just something that was viral. It was popular, so I'm going to go with it. My thing is, just wash your ass. Nobody cares what you're washing your ass with. I mean, and honestly, there's a lot more offensive stuff going on out here. If you just turn on the idiot box every now and again, you can find something way more offensive on TV that you can be mad at. But to me, I just kind of saw this as peanuts, man. I didn't see it as them. I get it. A lot of these advertisers and companies, you know, they have subliminal messages and stuff, and great, you caught on to one. Okay. If you don't want to buy Dove soap, okay, fine. But, like, making this whole big deal out of it and da-da-da, it's all emotions, people. Relax. Relax. Because... chances are next week you ain't going to give two flying fucks about it. So unless you're really ready to go hard or something like that, let's stop arguing over peanuts and taking our eyes off of real issues that we can control, that we can affect, and things like that. Like, it's just petty bullshit. Shut the fuck up and wash your ass. Wash your ass. Love. That's it.
Love make me itch.
Wash your ass. I don't care if you're using Dial, Dove.
Use black soap.
Dish detergent. I don't give a damn if you're using Tide. Wash your ass. That's the key part. Wash your ass.
Use black soap.
Yeah.
Use black soap.
It was a lame duck ass situation. I mean,
it's once again, like, let's be real. White people make these commercials at least once a year that make us mad. Oops, I didn't mean to do that. Yes, you did. You did mean to do that. That's why you did it. Don't apologize. You keep your apology. We know what you meant. You know, we know y'all don't like us. Come on, man. Like, I saw a video the other day of this art gallery in China had this whole section of...
monkeys?
Monkeys and animals, period. In Chinese, it's like, well, we didn't know. We didn't, man. People don't like us. Remember, they like black culture, not black people. They like black culture, not black people. Make a song out of it so you can remember that shit.
And just come on, guys. When stuff get on social media and stuff like that, we got to stop giving so much credence to social media over our lives. There's so much misinformation out there and stuff that can get you riled up, this, that, and the other. Anytime you see something on social media that you might care about, I challenge you to take, you know, an extra 5 to 10 minutes and actually research it. Read an article or two, read some varying opinions, then formulate your own opinion. Stop just sharing shit and getting mad. You don't even know what the hell you mad. You ain't even got Dove soap in your house. Shut the hell up.
Nah, but dog, they disrespected us, dog. Yeah. They said we was dirty, though, dog.
You don't even know.
They didn't respect us, dog.
If you don't even use Dove soap, shut the hell up. Like, I got Dove soap. I think I invested my $2.39 ever I paid for that bar. Maybe I could say something if I'm mad or this, that, and other. But half you dusty bastards don't even use Dove soap. Shut the hell up. Wash your ass.
So
wash your ass. That's it.
So you gonna start using black soap now, Jamie?
Hell no.
Huh? You gonna keep using Dove, nigga?
Hell yeah.
That shit got like Chick-fil-A too.
Yeah, that shit got like lotion in it and stuff. I love Dove soap. Might make me white. Hell, I'm fuck at you. I'm joking.
Yeah,
I just didn't. I mean, it's funny to me that most, you know, we upset about her taking off her shirt and being clean when she white. But then, you know, if you really want to look at it on that deep level, then you also got to look at the fact that most of the products we use to clean ourselves are white. So,
also
I mean, if you
go ahead. Nah, just also note there were other races on that as well. So it's like, you know, the Mexican community, I ain't see nobody get up in arms. The Asians.
Well, they were saying white people cleaning than all you motherfuckers. That's what they were telling me.
Like,
yeah, if we gonna be deep and be mad while we deep, then we gotta be deep all the way around. We can't be spot deep. Like, you can't be deep in one spot and shallow in all the other spots connected to it.
Like, yeah,
shit don't make sense.
Uh-huh, the pool at the recreation center like that.
Nah, it ain't. If it is, ain't nobody getting to that deep spot. Look, bro. I just don't, like, for me, we sensitive as shit. Like, now we showcase and we sent. And us being sensitive as shit is part of the reason why shit ain't changing. Because the moment we get mad and decide we want to organize about some shit, all they got to do is throw a rock in the other direction. And now we offended. We forgot about everything we was planning to do over here. And we all go run over there, stand around that rock, and yell and scream at it.
And, yeah, like, to me, like, who's organizing this get back at Dove Soap? You're not. You're just posting and getting mad. Oh, I'm not going to buy a bar. Shut up. You don't even know who they, like, what company Dove is under, who they might own. You still going to buy that shit. Shut the fuck up. Wash your ass. Wash your ass.
Well, we all know, and this is one thing we got to admit. First off, the black community, the economic power we had in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, we don't have no more. So stop thinking that if black people stop buying these products, then the corporations going, no, it's not. No, it's not. These corporations are international. They are international. And not to mention the fact that your powerful black dollar has been replaced by the Hispanic powerful black dollar, by the Asian powerful black dollar. It's been already, the ante has been up by the powerful white dollar. Look, I keep telling people this. Don't nobody want to goddamn listen. Black people are fourth when it comes to disposable income in America. We are fourth per person. We're fourth. When you don't count per person, when you just say in aggregate, we are third. We're third. You're not second anymore. That's why you don't get the lead sidekick roles like you got in the 90s. In the 90s, every white major character had a black sidekick. Now that sidekick is Hispanic, Latino, Pacific Islander. You know, they're something else. It's not black no more because you're not the second largest group in America anymore, which means they no longer care about your perspective. You're not the largest market. You're not the largest demographic other than white. For them, at this point, being diverse means including a Hispanic person, not a black person. They don't care. And we got to address that because we still got these freaking, we still operating on rhetoric from the 70s and 80s. The rhetoric hasn't been updated. Motherfuckers still running around talking about, yeah, man, we got $1.5 trillion. If we take that away from the white community, look, bro. First off, the economy is worth nearly $50 trillion. Your little $1.5, if I make $50, if I got $50 and you take a dollar and 50 cents away from me, I'm not hurting. Not to mention the fact that the Hispanics have $2.1 trillion in disposable income. You know what I'm saying? Like we're not, the money is enough for us to build ourselves up. If we use it to build ourselves up, it's not enough to punish nobody. But we keep, and that's why all this shit is misdirected. All of it is. All of it. We going to hurt Dove Soap by not buying their soap. Dove Soap ain't going to notice your black ass not buying their soap.
Yeah, they don't care. But My thing is, what does Dove Soap contribute to what we really need to have in the black community? Not a damn thing.
Hey, man, look. Dove Soap is where it's at. Y'all tripping, man. Say, let me guess. Y'all hating on Eminem too, huh?
Fuck Eminem.
Y'all don't like Eminem freestyle at BET either, huh? Since y'all hating on Dove Soap, y'all don't like white soap or white rappers.
I'm not gonna say fuck Eminem. I ain't gonna say fuck Eminem, because Eminem do what he does. He's been doing it for a long time. And I actually think Eminem is a decent rapper. He's pretty good. Pretty good. I know everybody gonna be like, no, he's great. He's the best ever. Look, pretty good is the best you're gonna get out of me, so shut the fuck up. He's pretty good.
You know who's gonna be on you.
No, that freestyle was trash. It wasn't even a freestyle. He wrote that. It was trash. The delivery was trash. The lyrics was trash. His breathing was trash. His beard and facial hair was trash. The dude standing behind him was trash. The parking garage was trash. The best thing about that was when he did the hillbilly voice. That was funny.
Oh, man. I think, again, social media blowing stuff up. Because as soon as the freestyle happened, everybody started sharing it. You know, once a few or three, you know, black rappers started sharing it, people just automatically just attached to it. This is the hottest shit out. I thought it was cool. I ain't seeing them like, woo-hoo-hoo. Nah, it's like, I looked at it like just in a Jay-Z voice. That's cool. That's cool. That's exactly what I thought about it. It's like, I moved on in life. Like, why are we still talking about it? That's cool. Okay, cool. That's what I thought about it. Like, all right, congratulations. Cool. Fuck that.
That shit was trash.
It was trash. Yeah.
Eminem, sit your punk ass down. I don't give a shit that you's mad at Trump. My thing is, if you gonna go off, come on. If you gonna come on and go off in front of black people, yeah, not only talk about some shit that's going on in our community, but let us see some action. See, my thing at Eminem is, I'm pulling your card because you're one of the ones who benefit off of black culture. You like black culture, but when things happen to black people, you silent. So now when you have an album coming out, you in the cool and stuff. But most of your freestyles about Donald Trump. You sprinkling in some stuff about black people trying to make us feel good. But most of that was a little fluff because you got a little album coming out. I see what you got going on, Eminem. You can keep that shit. That's my position on that.
Well, I really can't even be mad at him because it ain't like he said shit for the black community to get behind. It was just Trump don't like, M don't like Trump.
I'm just letting him know that we know you don't give a shit about our community. And for all you black people who bigging him up, y'all crazy as hell because y'all know he don't do shit. Like, this motherfucker trying to argue with me earlier that it's okay that Eminem don't do nothing for our community. He does nothing. And you okay with that? You a dumbass.
I'm not finna hold the dude up as no savior because he ain't. Especially if all he doing it. If all he is a rapper, then why are we talking about him like this is something bigger than rap?
Yeah.
I mean, if all he does is rap, then let's look at what he did from a rap perspective. This shit was trash. From a rap perspective. Would you buy that on an album? Would you buy that would you buy that single?
No.
If you look at it from a purely rap perspective, I didn't like it. I thought that was one of some of the worst I've ever heard from him. Just from a purely rap perspective.
That was the worst bit of rhyming I've heard from Eminem since he released that, since that song got released by Benzino with him dissing black women 20, 30 years ago, however long ago it was. That was the worst rhyming since then. I mean, the motherfucker was, and fuck Donald Trump, he's orange. And he looks like a thumb. And he's gonna build a wall. What the fuck?
He was doing a lot of running. He should have timed himself out. Honestly, I just didn't. I just said it, like, I didn't care. Like, I don't know why anybody cares. Like, that, like,
that's my biggest thing. Why do we care that he mad at Trump? Who cares like, that he mad at Trump?
It sounds weird.
I just
weird.
See that you ain't doing shit. I'm calling you out. But,
I know. See, that's the thing, Joe. I didn't even think that far. I just didn't care. Like, that, and that's the thing. Like, I didn't even think about it as in Eminem, you're not doing. I just saw it and I didn't care. I literally didn't care. So I don't understand why anybody's caring. That's like, if do I sound like an asshole for saying that, but I just didn't care.
You don't.
Well, see, but the thing is, because people are acting like this is a defining moment in rap and hip hop in his career because he made that freestyle. Like, no, it ain't. People was literally telling me that, hey, this is something that could hurt his career. Eminem could talk about killing his mother, and that don't hurt his career? Really? Come on, man. That shit ain't gonna hurt his career, man.
I'm with,
if anything, Eminem gonna gain fans for saying that.
I'm with Joe on that. For me, it was just people kept bringing it to me. You know, like, I got people on Facebook tagging me in posts and people messaging me. I even got a link to the video text to my phone, like, you know, like old-fashioned text, you know, because I know all y'all be messaging and tweeting and shit now. So it's an old-fashioned text to my phone with a link to the video. So, you know, I must have got sent this video like 20 or 30 times this week. Everybody, yo, Eminem's a rap god. Yo, Eminem just flamed the shit out of Trump. Yo, Eminem is my dude.
Also,
yo, Eminem is real. And I'm like, wait, what?
Also, from a purely rap perspective, you get no credit from me for making a song about somebody who can't rap.
Actually,
or making
Donald
any type
Trump,
of diss. Any type of diss about anybody that can't rap, I ain't giving you no credit on that.
I don't know if the tweets are real or not.
Like Eminem with this and Mariah Carey. You don't get no credit for that.
Well, I don't know if the tweets are real or not.
That tweet when Donald Trump was like, he liked stuff.
Yeah, the little response. I mean, if those tweets are, and I ain't bothered to go to Trump page to see if they real. But if those tweets
are
real,
they kill everything
two,
Eminem said.
Yeah, those two tweets bodied everything Eminem did. They bodied that whole 4 minutes in two tweets.
Hey, man, that was some real shit. Basically, like, he had some real. Basically, like, Eminem, you spit a five verse or something like that. Like, I like that shit. Basically. So that takes all the venom out of your bite. It takes all of it out because it's like you did all that. You spent 4 minutes doing all that. Donald, hey man, that shit was hot, dog. When the album coming out? I'm buying it. What do you say then?
Nah, man, I ain't nobody.
If it was true, it's funny, but I can't say it was true. But
you know. Should we move on to the Bye Bye Nigga report?
Yeah, let's move on. We ain't talking about Eminem no more.
Yeah, because Jamie and I already stated clearly he don't care.
I just don't give a shit. Like, I wish I had more for you fellas, but, like, I literally have nothing. I literally just don't give a fuck. So, next topic. No?
All right.
Yeah, I don't have anything of note to say towards that because I just don't give a shit. But we was getting to the BIE report.
Break that down
for these. We should have led off with that first. Break that down.
Nah, that probably would have took all the time.
Yeah, that's true too.
I mean, it's definitely, we might have to come back to it.
Oh yeah.
Because we had an hour already, so.
Give us a brief synopsis.
So, basically, the BIE report, and it will be attached. What we've decided, we're going to break it down again. It'll be attached to that link on the website, freedomtrain.com, freedomtrainradio.com, so you can check it out. But it's basically a 12-page report. It's relaxed. It's only about 9 or 10 pages of reading. The last two pages are like references and stuff like that. But it's basically an FBI report that was put out back in August of 2017 was when it was written. it actually didn't come out until I think last week or the week before last it was released, made unclassified. And it is a law enforcement intelligence assessment put together by the FBI. And it identifies black identity extremists, BIE, and it says they're likely motivated to target law enforcement officers. Now, the entire report basically goes into detail about they look at six specific cases where they feel like law enforcement was targeted by individuals who they feel have this black identity extremist mindset philosophy. One of the prerequisites is that they feel like these people feel like the black community has been unfairly and unjustly targeted and persecuted and oppressed by police officers. They feel like a lot of these people have a superiority complex to white people. They feel like a lot of these people are separatist, which has always been a very bad word in America. And they feel like a lot of this is spurred on by the conjunction of black empowerment meshing with the sovereign citizenship movement, which they actually mentioned the Moore Science Temple in the report. But they do make a clear distinction between what the Moore Science Temple taught and the sovereign citizenship movement. So they kind of said a lot of this was stirred by a lot of the ideas seemed to come from Noble Drew Ali, but even though he preached knowing the law and being at one with the system and this, that, and the third, these new crops, these new people don't necessarily follow that philosophy, and that's because they're not studying Noble Drew Ali. They're studying the white supremacist version of sovereign citizenship that was created in the 60s and 70s when white people was tired of all of the supposed gains that black people were getting, and they said, fuck this, we just not going to listen to the government no more. We're sovereign citizens. Those same white people also said black people couldn't be sovereign citizens because the 14th Amendment made them permanent slaves. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. But basically, this report is going into detail about what to look out for, what's creating these people, blah, 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 blah. In a lot of ways, it's basically just anybody that's pro-black is now suspect. In a lot of ways, is what it's doing. Because even the different ways they try to differentiate between, you know, like they're on two or three spots, they're like, but people that believe this might not necessarily be BIEs, and people that believe that might not necessarily be. So it becomes so confusing and so complicated that it's like, okay, well, basically anybody that's pro-black could potentially be a BIE and should be investigated, is what it ends up being. Like you said before the show, Jamie, it ain't nothing new. They kind of did this back in the 60s. They were releasing these FBI intelligence reports. They just weren't calling it BIEs. They just gave it a new name. Yeah. So that's the report. And like I said, we probably should go into more detail reading it and whatnot, but that's the long and short of it.
My humble opinion on it, I feel it's something people should know about. You should educate yourself on it, look more in depth in it. But also, like Pat kind of alluded to, there's a history behind this, a well-established history that is common knowledge. It's out there for you to read up on all the things that happened in the 60s. You got to understand the FBI under, what was that racist dude, J. Edgar Hoover, that joker. Up under him, I mean, some of the things and how they targeted they targeted everybody in the 60s, you name it. I mean, you had MLK was being targeted by the FBI, anybody. So
yeah, if you stood up for black people, you were targeted.
Yeah, yeah. So if you look at the history of, you know, the FBI and the tactics they use, and you kind of look at this, absolutely, it's nothing new. It's nothing new under the sun when it comes to this. It's just the fact of the timing of it and the current climate of America. even what's going on, you got a guy who's, you know, shooting people in Las Vegas and stuff like that. They still feel it a need enough to pretty much, it's just another way to criminalize you being black. But the label it, the label is the funny part to me. They ain't even try to hide it. Just black identity extremists. So if I label being too black, if I'm woke as hell and all that kind of stuff, hey, you could potentially be an extremist. You see how easy that is? So to me, it's almost telling people, yo, don't even identify with being black, man. Don't mess with this black stuff. You're gonna fuck around and get shot being black. It's like it's crazy. But to me, I think that's what people really should study and focus on just right now. They kind of see how this can play out in the future. So when you're out there and you had a black, like pretty much this is the precursor to them going to a Black Lives Matter protest or something like that and just arresting motherfuckers and holding them for saying you might be a potential extremist or something like that. This is just pretty much the precursor, or the next time a cop shoots somebody and they want to riot in whatever city and it's in a black community, for them to go in and say, oh, well, these people were BIE and this, this, that, and all that. All that is this is just setting the stage forward. And even still, what Pat, you were saying, that is saying that these people are more likely to target police officers. Who's the number one killer of police officers in the United States?
Of course, why not?
So right. To me, that's just, man. What the hell? Like,
it's kind of just like the war on drugs. Like, if you really thought the war on drugs was to get drugs out of the street, then you really misinformed. So if you think this BIE thing is to really keep people safe from some black extremists, it's not. It's to keep black people discouraged from actually standing up for what we should be standing up for. And that's really what it is, what it all boils down to. Is, like I said earlier, it's tactics, it's strategy, it's militaristic. It's discouraging black people from taking a stand. And if you are willing to take a stand, then you're going to be on this list. Shit. I mean, listen to the stuff we say on here. Don't get scared, nah.
I know, right?
So, yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, like, they don't want motherfuckers who saying what we saying. They don't want like the people that we know, the stuff that we grew up watching, the stuff that helped us. We're not supposed to be getting that. We're supposed to be a part of the amalgamation or that melting pot of America and just ignore all the things that want.
Well, I think one of the things we got to understand, too, is that, again, we're always looking for the malignant tumor. We're always looking for the aggressiveness. And we don't realize, like right now, I could hear somebody listening to what we're saying and being like, well, where's their proof? They just jump into a conclusion. And I haven't seen no plans and this, that, and that. Like, they're looking for something to show them that there is a malicious intent behind all of this that's been planned out, premeditated, thought about, and put into action. And I think that's where we keep bumping our heads with getting it through to our people. What we got to get them to understand is culture and how culture works. It's not, from my perspective, it's not that there is a plan where you got a group of people sitting around talking about how we going to get these niggas. I really don't see that being the case. What is happening, though, is their culture is reacting defensively, automatically. It's happening. It's like you don't have to tell your immune system, attack this virus, attack that foreign object, attack that foreign object. It happens instinctively, automatically. And I think that's what we got to understand when it comes to dealing with reports like this FBI report. When they already on edge, they already feel like they're losing the country. They already feel like they're losing ground. They already feel all types of crazy ways that we don't even understand because they're losing. They're losing what they believe to be happening is that they're losing power. All it takes is one motherfucker to come out and make them feel justified, and you get a report like this instantaneously that sets things up for their culture to be aggressive down the line. This is like an antibody right here. That's what this is. America's sick. We're the virus. That's the antibody. The law enforcement officers are the white blood cells. Now they have a means to identify, attack, and destroy. anything that threatens their culture. And I think we got to start looking at it from that perspective. Even if that may or may not be the case, I think that's easier for people to digest, is the fact that, look, this is a cultural reaction happening instinctively. So stop going to your goddamn neighbor house and being like, you trying to kill me, motherfucker. You know, stop looking at individual white people as if they're the devil and start looking at this thing from a group perspective, from a cultural perspective, and start putting the pieces together and stop looking for a goddamn smoking gun. Even if there is one, they're too well organized. You're not going to find it.
Yes,
that's my piece.
Yeah.
I like that antibody analogy, though.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah, you freestyled that one. That was a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to use that shit. Fuck Eminem. He ain't got shit on me, man. I'm freestyling about antibodies.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. But, I mean, man, look, it's, like I say, man, it's all about making people not want to, or discouraging people from taking a stand, discouraging black people. It's more consequences. It's all about the consequences and things. The same thing like we were talking earlier on the fix. We were talking about Jerry Jones and the players. It's all about consequences. And when you give people consequences and you put them in their face, then you get to see what people are going to do. And so now, of course, it might discourage some people, but it's not going to discourage a lot of black people. But it would discourage some, but we got to stick together. I mean, we got to stick together in organization, and being able to protect ourselves is of utter importance. Like, Pat, remember the dude who we'll be talking about the video that I sent you, that the dude, somebody left his family to go be black and melanated, spiritual in another country.
Yeah.
So I just ran across information. Him and the women that he got down in the thing, wherever they're at in Costa Rica, they locked up the police, the local authorities and things and got them. And see, this is my thing, like, you know, you can't outrun white supremacy. It's global. White supremacy is older than America. So it's more imperative for us to stick together and work together. And that's what they're discouraging. And a lot of times, a lot of us do that on our own because we're trying to, we thinking about getting away from white supremacy, so we feel we got to separate and we isolate ourselves. When you're isolated, you're vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
It's more imperative for us to stick together and understand why we have to work together so we can protect ourselves and save ourselves. They're going to target us either way. You've seen what they did through the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s things to the people. They'll bust in your house 3 in the morning and shoot everybody in there.
Tell them about the gun line, boss.
So, I mean, let's start acting like we don't know who we're dealing with, man. And if you don't, you need to pick up a book.
Mm-hmm. Or two, or three, or four.
That's the hard part, man. That's the hard part. You just lost everybody at that point.
Yeah, Joe, you just messed up your own rent, man.
Picking up books. But you trying to kick knowledge?
Mm-hmm. Hey, nah, I'm trying to keep that shit you need to learn, though.
That evil.
Hey, I was like, nah, you realize what you just said?
So keep that shit.
Ask me if I'm trying to get solid.
But yeah, we got to come back to that, though, on another episode.
Yeah, we need to break that down. We really do. Especially now, because I think
we're going to come back to our next discussion.
Because especially while our audience is mostly black, we can really dig into it. I wouldn't want to do it if, you know, our audience is mostly white. But right now, our audience is mostly black. We should definitely tear into that. And I'm saying that on the air. And what?
B-I-B-I. Yep. So, Jamie, you got any closing remarks before we close this out?
Man, be safe out there, good people. A lot of stuff going on. Spread love. Be nice. Be kind to one another. You know, I'm on my positivity vibe right now, man. I want people to be positive out there. You know what I'm saying? Embrace the grind and get your shit off your chest. That's what I'm talking about. Get your shit off. Do your thing, people. That's it. That's all I got. If you ain't encouraged by that, go fuck
what you got, Pat.
Nothing much, you know. Love women with some weight on them and leg hair, that's all.
Ooh, the leg hair.
Say what?
Love women with weight and leg hair. That's
okay,
what we all need to do.
Okay, I didn't hear the first part of what you said. I was trying to push the pieces together in my mind. Okay, weight and leg hair. Hey, shout out to Pat. Hey, when it rains, niggas get wet. Remember that.
Okay.
All right.
Yo, you just said
it. What? It was a quote flex, or Tommy Buns from Belly. You better know that.
Stupid.
Oh,
man. Who is the master? Yeah.
Hey, man. You saw the movie. You saw when he went to see Lennox.
Hey, man. I got the movie right now on Plex, man.
There it is. On Plex. Hey, no Plex. That's how y'all say it out there in Texas.
No Plex. Plex on.
You know about Plex?
Hey, man.
What?
I guess not. All right, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Before this get even crazier, I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. He's James Bashan. We going platinum on your grandma.
You're done now.
That's the sound of Jamie Diarrhea.
Skiat!
God, I hope not. Double E. Two legs, no feet, big titty.